We've gotten to finale week for season two, and we've asked our contestants to redo a previous challenge. Which submission will David choose for a do-over? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello, I'm Brian Ibbett. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. We're starting the final challenge of the season, and I've asked our final two contestants, David and Bobby, to go back to any previous challenge and create a second episode in that podcast series using the critique from the judges and the things that they've learned over the season to grow. On this episode, we'll follow David as he gets coaching from Tom Merritt, as well as coaching from last season's winner, Amy Frost, who had to complete this very same challenge in her season. And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll hear David's final submission. But before we get to that, let's catch up with David. I'm here with David Luzader. David, congratulations on making it to the finals, man.
Thank you. It's a little surreal, but exciting.
It is, but it's there's probably a light at the end of the tunnel that kind of feels... You know, you've got one last big push, but then the light at the end of the tunnel probably is starting to warm your skin. Whether it's a win or a loss, it's almost all over. All of this pressure I've been putting you under.
At this point, I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, that's right. I guess I haven't told you the continuing adventures of America's podcaster. Surprise. No, that's great. And how are you feeling about this week before we get into any specifics?
You know, it's a little tough because Bobby is the one to beat. I think I just got to kind of be honest with myself about that. I'm coming in kind of as the underdog here. I know that amongst some of the judges, Bobby is a big favorite. So it's one of those situations where it's like, what can I do to pull myself above?
Sure.
And that's a tough question to answer.
It is. I mean, you absolutely deserve to be here in the finals. You
Thank
need to
you.
Make sure that you know that. I want to make sure that you know that because I think that, the both of you are strong, really, really strong competitors or strong performers, podcasters. And I think, you know, about halfway through, we had a pretty short list of who we thought we'd see in the end. And I think both two out of three of the judges, or maybe me and Hammond and Tom, I can't remember who all was talking about this, but we all had you and Bobby and a couple other people on the short list for who was going to make it to the end. So,
well, thank you. And I should say, I'm not saying that in a way of like I'm admitting defeat. I'm kind of trying to do it in a way to like light a fire under myself a little bit, not get complacent.
Sure.
And also not make it all just about like, I got to beat this other guy, but it's like,
right.
I got to make sure I'm putting out the best I can put out.
Well, I think there's something healthy about coming into this feeling like you're the underdog because it does make you push harder and it does make you try more than you might otherwise. So yeah. I think that's a healthy way to go into this last competition. So have you made your decision on which show you're going to revisit?
I have. I narrowed down the list. I went through all the episodes that I have been a part of. Mm-hmm. And I marked off, you know, the ones that I can't redo, like the celebrity interview or someone else's challenge.
Sure. Yeah.
I marked off any ones that went incredibly well, like Science Week. And that also one was largely, I felt like Bobby really had a love for that one. So I don't think I could do what we did there without him also. And looking at what kind of I had left at the end of my elimination, I really felt like Paycheck to Paycheck was one that the judges liked, but had good criticism on, that it could be something more.
Right. And this is the one where you guys found out about this story about the comic artist, the creator of
Rocket Raccoon.
Yes. And basically how he's not really seeing any of the benefits of his work these days and falling into health issues and things like that. It turned into kind of a bigger story than you had time to talk about in the show.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Great. Well, this is, and so obviously you can't go and revisit that story. So you have a new story that you're going to be looking at.
Yes.
And I don't, you know what, I'm going to ask you, but you don't have to tell me. How's that? If you want to tell me, you can. What's the story you're thinking about for the new show?
Well, it's going to come up when I talk to Tom, because I have some very pointed questions to ask. So I'll go ahead and say it here as well.
Sure.
I'm going to be talking about professional wrestling. And I think that one of the issues that happened last time was that we were a little bit too broad with trying to cover all of the problems that comic artists and writers face. So I'm trying to narrow it down a little bit and not necessarily talk about the physical risk. The idea is kind of focus on risk versus reward.
Right.
And what are the risks, not just physical, but financial and emotional? And what is the reward for pursuing professional wrestling?
Interesting. Okay. And are you going to be, but you are going to be focusing on, it's going to be a very narrow focus, right? Because that did still sound like a pretty broad topic.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to still kind of whittle it down, kind of go through my sources. Hopefully Tom can help me point in a little bit of a better direction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does run the risk of being a little bit broad.
Okay. Good. Looking back at that, I had to go back and look at that episode in the reviews. But basically, you're actually going to be bringing back two of the people who were with you on that team. Jen and Travis both were with you when you guys did that episode, correct? Mm-hmm. And then Shane is some new seasoning to add to the mix.
That's correct. Yes. And Jen did the narration on the first one. Obviously, I will probably be doing narration this time around as well, but finding a way to do it maybe kind of as a two-hander with her to kind of keep some consistency from episode to episode.
That's a good point, right? Because this still has to feel like another episode in the series. Now, it doesn't have to feel like the very next episode. You know, it can be the episode after Jen is dethroned as narrator and you've
taken over.
Taken over, you formed a coup and taken over. But no, I think that's great. I think that's a really good way to handle it. Because obviously you're the showcase in this. It's gotta feel like your show. Mm-hmm. How are you gelling with the team? Again, knowing that you've worked with two of them before.
I haven't had a time to meet with all of them yet. Unfortunately, had something personal at the end of the judging and elimination that I kind of had to go deal with. So I haven't had time to meet with all of them, but they have been very gracious in offering to help me in however I need. So they've been great so far.
Good. Are you worried about, do any of them have any hard feelings about the whole process that they might be feeling like they have to sabotage to get back
I hope not.
At you or me or the judges? Or
they have not made that public at this time, so we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, well, you don't have access to their ex-contestants channel. Oh, boy. I'm kidding. I think you've got a great team behind you, and I think you've got a great episode to pick. And like I said, I think if you, whether it's true or not, if you go into this feeling like you've got more to prove or more, not more to prove, but like you've got, like you're the underdog, then I think that's a healthy way to go into it. And I hope both of you guys go into this thing feeling like you're the underdog and that you need to work hard to produce the final episode.
Well, hopefully it comes through in the episodes.
I'm sure it will. David, thank you so much, man. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
Let's see how things went when they met with the coach, Tom Merritt.
Congratulations, David. I like that you leapt to the front last week. That's awesome.
Thank you. It was an honor.
Yeah. Well, and good timing, too. Like right towards the end. How are you feeling about this week?
Oh, you know, just a little bit of pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. It's just the entire competition's riding on it, right?
Right, exactly.
So what are you thinking? You've got to revisit something. What is it that you plan to revisit?
So I'm planning to revisit Paycheck to Paycheck, which is the episode that we did for Investigation Week, which was an episode that the judges liked but had really good criticism on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to take that and take some of that criticism and shape the episode better than
that's a good approach. Take what the judges gave you and use that. That's super smart. How are you going to address their criticisms?
So the biggest thing, I think we were trying to talk about very broadly about people working in the comic industry. Mm-hmm. And Justin kind of pointed out, you know, we were talking about exploitation when we didn't really approach it from that angle. So now I'm kind of trying to step out, look at my topic and focus in on it. And the topic that I'm going with is wrestlers who work in the indie circuit.
Okay. Really kissing up to Justin on that one, aren't you?
No, actually, because we have talked about the Jen and some other people who are working on that episode have talked about doing this show as sort of a long form thing.
And, yeah. I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, a little bit, I guess.
It's a double-edged sword, right? On the one hand, Justin's going to be excited for that topic just naturally a little more than the other judges because he's into wrestling. On the other hand, he's also going to be a little more judgmental because he knows that industry. So you're going to have to work a little harder to make sure you give him the things that he knows. For instance, I don't know if you heard the criticism of Bobby's show from last week, but one of the things that Justin said was, I know so much about James Randi, it's kind of hard for me to separate what I know about. Wrestling isn't as close to that as the Randi Foundation was for Justin, because he'd actually worked for them. But that is something you have to keep in mind, is you want to dot your I's and cross your T's on this stuff.
Right. I don't know if I'm going to necessarily surprise Justin with any of this, but my hope is that he will at least say, you had good information and you presented it well.
And if I remember right, one of the criticisms of Paycheck to Paycheck was it felt to the judges anyway, like you were shoehorning a comics topic into a premise that, and you didn't fulfill the premise enough. You didn't tell them what it was like. So how are you going to do that with the exploitation of indie wrestlers?
So not necessarily what is the exploitation of them, but what is the cost of being an indie wrestler? Because a lot of these guys are spending money as fast as they make it. They have, you know, I'm still trying to get some numbers. It's actually really hard to get numbers on this one.
Yeah.
But I'm able to get a little bit, and I'll be talking also to Joey Image and have someone who is still working in the indie circuit right now. That I will be talking to kind of get a better sense of what it's like to actually be in there, maybe get a little bit of sense of the kind of money that they're making, but really focus in on not the people who, you know, go to WrestleMania, but the people that are traveling every single day of their lives to do shows and barely eking out a living.
Yeah, that's great. I was going to suggest that you try to get some interviews, and you're already on it. So that's fantastic. One of the things that'll let you do is tie in any numbers you get, any hard examples of like it costs this much, the net income is this much, to anecdotal, because you want to show don't tell, which is difficult in audio sometimes, but what you do to show is have those interview bites where you say, like, you know, wrestlers spend 20% of their paycheck on their own meals. And then you've got an anecdote from Joey about, like, yeah, there was this one time we were eating at this one place, blah, blah, you know, whatever it is. So really take advantage of that ability to tie in, to give you the hard example so we know what it is, but then the anecdotal example so we know what it feels like.
Yeah, I think that was something that was kind of missing from the comic book version of Paycheck to Paycheck. Was, you know, we had this story about the Rocket Raccoon guy, and they were interested in that, but we never got too personal in on it.
Yeah, you never felt it.
Right, exactly. So I don't want to focus this one on, like, this is the story of Joey Image.
Right.
But bring in Joey Image as someone who experienced all that and have him speak to it.
Yeah. Do you have a structure of how you want to tell the story yet, or are you still working on that?
So I do have a rough outline right now. I can run through that real quick. Which
just the broad strokes.
Yeah. The beginning of it, I want to address the perception versus reality. You know, people say wrestling is fake. That's what people know it for. But just addressing that off the bat and saying it's not fake, it's athletic theater. Sure, it's scripted, but it's, you know, got this high level of risk. Then talk briefly about, for most wrestlers, the goal is WWE and WrestleMania. That's the major leagues. But almost everybody who works in wrestling, a good percentage of them are just going to be working in the indie league for their entire career. Talk about what is the cost of that: training, traveling, healthcare. And then kind of wrap up at the end of talking about, you know, we've presented, here's all these reasons not to do it. Why do they still do it?
Perfect.
And then the silver lining at the end is, you know, the internet is making it easier for these guys to build up their brand, to become known, to get audiences more so than they ever have before.
Right. I think you probably, and you will, I'm sure you'll do this, but you also want to make the point that while the internet makes it easier, it isn't the fix, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not like suddenly everybody has got all the money they need. It just makes it easier. It's helpful. And those are good anecdotal things to get from your interviews as well. If you can get a third one, just so you have a third voice, you might try.
Yeah. Working on right now, might get someone who actually was in the WWE and at WrestleMania, but that is looking like it might not shape out. Mm-hmm. And then there's someone else, actually a female voice, which would be nice to have.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I'm waiting to hear that.
Well, this all sounds good. I think my only feedback on the arc is I wouldn't spend too much time talking about people think wrestling is fake, because that is kind of beaten to death. I think it's important to say, though, because what your point that's really good is it's still risky. So so just, you know, kind of slipping through, like, yeah, a lot of people think it's fake and it is certainly, you know, a scripted form of entertainment to a certain extent, but that doesn't mean it's not risky.
Right.
And here are, and Joey's going to be a great example of that. Like, here's the toll it takes on your body, no matter what you think of it as a sport. Mm-hmm. And that's a great setup for telling the rest of your story, is they're risking injury. And what's the goal? Well, the goal is fame and fortune. Most of them don't make that. This is what the cost of doing it, besides the risk to their bodies. And then you finish on, so why would they do that? You get some voices. I think you got a really solid entry, and that fulfills the promise of paycheck to paycheck, because you're spending that middle part talking about people who are definitely living paycheck to paycheck and exactly. Why. And probably, I'm sure you've already thought of this, hang a big flag, use that phrase paycheck to paycheck a couple of times. So that you're hammering home, like, here's where we're delivering on the promise.
Yeah. In the middle, I really just want to talk about the fact that these guys are often spending money, sometimes faster than they can make it.
Yeah. You
know, they have to make just a little bit in a night, and then immediately have to go travel and spend a bunch of that money on food, traveling. You know, they probably have places they have to pay rent on. And then if they get hurt, you know, there goes whatever they have left, basically.
Right. What other things can I help with? It sounds like you've got a solid plan here, man.
No, I think, you know, I don't quite know, because I think just even talking about this, you're just kind of affirming that everything I've kind of worked on is heading towards direction.
Sometimes that can be helpful. I know.
Yeah. That's what happened yesterday. I was talking it out with Amy and even just solidified the idea so much more. So I thank you, I guess, in these last moments. Thank you so much for everything that you've done just throughout this whole show.
Yeah, man. I mean, I try not to mislead, but there's so many ways to skin a cat. So hopefully I'm just able to kind of inspire you to think about the podcasts that you're doing in better ways. And any little bit that I'm helpful, I'm glad about.
You definitely have been.
We're here with Amy, last season's winner, Amy Frost. Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back.
And I know you've got some exciting projects in the hopper that are coming down, Ake Willow.
Oh yeah,
which I'm really, really excited to listen to. And actually, you guys, 2-3 episodes have come out, because I think it started at lunchtime.
We
Halloween, right?
Halloween, yep. So episode 5 is currently out.
Fantastic!
It's very exciting. Yeah,
I'm a few episodes behind, but I'm gonna get caught up. Too much Watchmen and Mandalorian to catch up with, I guess. But I will get caught up with your show. However, that's not why we're here. We're here for you to do a little bit of coaching. You are here with David Luzader, who won this last challenge this last week.
Yeah.
And
hello.
It's him and Bobby in the finals, and you've been there, Amy. You've done this. You've got the experience.
I have.
You hopefully can give him the tools for success.
I hope so.
So I'm going to
give you guys... want the same curse that I had.
Well, let's hope. That's right. They didn't get a session with Wendy, a therapy session with Wendy as part of their season. which was definitely beneficial last season.
Yep. All
right. We're going to go ahead and start the timer. You guys have 15 minutes. I'm going to mute myself, and time starts now.
Well, hello, and thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. So I did spend today listening to every episode that you've done so far, so I have a decent idea of what you're about so far. So tell me, what's your plan?
Okay, so I'm going to be doing another episode of Paycheck to Paycheck, which was an episode that was liked by the judges, but I think had really good criticism that could be better.
Right.
And I'm hoping for a chance now to make a better episode of it. And instead of, you know, not going to do the same story, not going to do comic artists like that one, but instead looking at professional wrestling and doing sort of a risk versus reward analysis.
Oh, I really like that. So first of all, that's a good pick to do one that was positively received, but that had room for improvement, because that's the double-edged sword, right? You pick one they liked and you have to do it just as well, or you pick one they didn't like and you risk sort of even going into it with a bias against it. So you've picked a good spot. Wrestling is awesome. That's a great choice, especially since right now the landscape of wrestling is changing so much. Mm-hmm. Like, indie wrestling is definitely taking off and becoming a more viable career for people and things like that. Like, you're not limited to the WWE anymore. So I think that's a real good place. And a lot of those guys are really accessible too. If you needed, you know, someone to talk to and things like that, that's a good way to go. So how are you going to present this? Like, what's the plan?
Okay. So I'm still kind of figuring it out, and I actually have a couple of interviews lined up. One of them being a Frog Pants staple, Joey Image, who was a wrestler for 20 years and now does promoting, still works in the business. And then someone else who one of my teammates is connecting me with, who actually almost got signed to one of the big, I guess, labels. I don't really know the best way, but they could not because of an injury, which obviously injury is a big part of this, but I kind of don't want to just focus on the physical challenges of it, because I think that's, I don't want to say obvious, but it's known.
It's like football. Like, you know, that's a risk. That's a risk reward that's very easy in football. Right. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Right. Where I think a little bit more the show lends itself to, and I'm a little bit more interested in, is the financial side. You know, they have to pay all this money to do this training. They have to devote their lives to it. And the chances of you taking off with it are slim to none.
And beyond that, a lot of these guys, like, so if you are, like, especially on the indie circuit, even if you belong to a promotion, you have to pay your own travel. Like, these guys,
exactly.
Like, it's big here on the East Coast. Like, these guys drive up and down the East Coast to go to all these shows. And, like, yeah, that's, you definitely have to weigh, like, how much, not only how much you can make, but how much you think this is going to further your career. So that's a really good angle. I like that.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk to Joey about it too, because now that Joey did it for 20 years and he's retired, you know, did he come out of that? How much money did he have coming out of it? I'm obviously not going to probe too deeply, but, you know, I kind of want to get a sense of doing it for all this time, coming out of it, where did he stand financially? What did he have kind of to show for it? Now he's, you know, he's still in it, he's doing promoting, and that's a whole other side of it that's very interesting. But I was reading, you know, for some guys starting out, they are doing these shows for nothing. And they're doing it for exposure, which is kind of, you know, that old joke.
Right, the worst thing, right? Exactly.
But their risk in these matches in rundown gyms are so much higher.
Yeah. There was one in Maine relatively recently where the cage, like, they basically did a cage match with the audience holding the cage together.
Good Lord.
So that's, you know, maybe not the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're in a lot of these guys walking away from indie wrestling with not a lot of pay, hoping to get noticed. And it's probably not going to happen for them, but kind of coming to that question at the end of, would you, you know, if you could go back 20 years and start over, would you do it again?
Right.
And I think that would kind of be like the ending of it, talking to these retired guys. It's like, if you had the chance, would you pursue it all over again?
And was it worth it from, like, even beyond a financial standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's good. I like that. So I did like the format of like your first time doing Paycheck to Paycheck. I thought that was really good. You had a good balance of that sort of conversational versus the production. And I think that works out really well. Especially like, you know, in this new age of podcasting, production seems to be on the rise, which is nice. Yeah. I think you did a good job with that.
Yeah.
Do you have any other? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, yeah, my idea is obviously last time I didn't narrate at all in that episode. But since, right, you know, it's the final episode, I should probably have, yeah, a hand in it. I actually have the Jen on my team who did
excellent
narrate. So I'm kind of, yep, hoping to do a two-hander with her, kind of in the style of 99% Invisible. It's like, you know, I talk for a bit and then like, here's, well, when we get to this next chapter in the story, here's, mm-hmm, Jennifer Lee, who's going to tell you about that.
Sure. So I will tell you, like, so whereas the other team challenges, you are all sort of like trying to not step on each other's toes, I will give you the advice for this one that it is perfectly okay for you to tell someone on your team that it's not good enough or that you want to redo it or something like that. Like, definitely, like, because in the end it is like, yes, you have your team behind you, but in the end it is your challenge. So, mm-hmm, it's hard. It's so hard. I know. But I mean, I had to send Joe back for rewrites at 11:30 at night for mine, you know, because it just wasn't working. So I know what that's like.
Yeah, I definitely hit a point in there. Yeah, and in the first discussion with TV's Travis, where I was kind of like, well, like, you know, we could do this. And I realized, oh, wait, I have to make the call. Like, this is it. Mm-hmm. I can no longer have someone else make that call. It's like, it's all.
Yeah, like you can take their opinions, but yeah, exactly. So yeah, in the end, you have to do something that you are cool with. Like, mm-hmm, that's the most important part, is as long as you're happy with it, like, that's a victory for you no matter what, because like, I know how much work this is. Like, you're pouring everything into this. So at the end of the day, as long as you're happy with it, you've got something.
All right. That's good to know. Actually, one thing I wanted to ask is if, you know, you've had some time now, you've been removed from it. Hindsight's 2020. If you could go back kind of to that moment where you found out you were going to be in the final two, you were deciding which episode you were going to do, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
So I think it comes down to, like, because the biggest thing, and I think you've already nailed this part, is the choosing what you're going to go back to. And I think you've already done a really good job with that. And I mean, it's, you have to choose something that you're into and passionate about, because otherwise it's not, like, that's going to come across. Like, the challenges that, you know, that we usually fell down on were the ones that we were sort of less into. And so for this final challenge, like, as long as you have chosen what you want to do, it's going to come out better than anything that you logic yourself into saying, well, this would be better because this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not passionate about it, that's going to come through and they're going to see that from a mile away.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, which is one of those things where wrestling's not necessarily my forte. I don't follow wrestling, but what, you know, I'm trying to find what interests me about it enough to talk about it, which is right, kind of why I'm leaning towards that financial side, where the more I learn about what these people go through, for, you know, no money, for spending thousands of dollars of their own money to chase this dream, that is right, fascinating.
And I mean, it's like, they are, you know, like, it's not the wrestling is fake, like, that's not a thing, but these are performers. And so, like, that, like, there's a universal thing for performers, right? Like, it's, yeah, the same whether you are a podcaster or an actor or a singer or, you know, any of these things. Like, it's the same struggle for all of them.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the stuff that you can learn in this would translate, like, it has universal appeal because it translates to all of these other things.
Yeah. Like, for me, you know, I'm big into superheroes, and that's kind of what wrestling, oh, yeah, is heroes versus, yep, villains. And I do kind, exactly, of plan on addressing up top, you know, being like, well, the first word that comes to everyone's mind when you hear professional wrestling is fake. But it's like, okay, so let's put that out there, then move beyond it. What's not fake?
Right.
you know, the falls,
right,
the struggles.
It's not fake, it's scripted.
Right, exactly.
Which is entirely different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's good.
I'm thinking, too, to not really, even though the WWE has its own share of problems, I kind of feel like bringing them up too much would kind of distract from, I think independent wrestling is better, you know,
especially where you have, right, because like, yes, the goal for a lot of these independent wrestlers is to get there, but most of them never do. Like, right, that'd be like, you know, doing a show about the Little League and talking about making it to the MLB, like, yeah, sure, I guess some of them, but
right,
not
right,
really it, what it's about. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And mentioning, you know, there are ways to mention organically where talking about these guys have to pay for their own insurance.
Right.
And that's a phenomenon that goes all the way to the top because they're still mm-hmm. considered independent contractors.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I just, thought that's good.
I just don't want to get, because I think the issue with paycheck to paycheck last time was that it was way too broad. And this one, I really need to focus. And I think if I go with the financial struggles of being an indie professional wrestler, is going to be more compelling than just being a professional wrestler.
Exactly. I like that.
Great. Okay. This is making me feel better. Thank you.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
is there anything that, I mean, I don't really know how to phrase it. Is there anything you would have done differently if you were doing your final challenge?
I mean, ideally, I would have recorded mine in a closet.
No, there it goes. Oh,
but,
no, here I am.
Okay. I think I did okay. Like, I mean, obviously, it worked out all right. But I mean, the hardest thing for me was letting other people handle stuff for me. And I didn't have a choice with my situation. And so I think that that worked out in my favor, that I was able to lean on my teammates for their strengths while still like being in charge of everything. So like that's important too. Like, cause I know I tend to want to do everything all by myself. The independent challenges were significantly easier for me because I didn't have to worry about it. But leaning on your teammates' strengths, because you have access to, you know, you have access to these people and their skills, like make use of that because it's going to make your end product better.
Was there like a fear when you were doing that of I guess you answered it. You wanted to have that control over it being in this round.
Yep, but, definitely. Like, especially because it's the final, right? And I'm like, I let someone else write it and someone else edit it, and oh, what have I done? and it's, you know, so yeah, like let go of some of that stuff, but don't be afraid to say, well, can we do this? Like, can we tighten this part up? Like this part isn't working, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think what I'm feeling okay with is that I wrote the last episode, and I think that was kind of my strength in a lot of the team challenges, is when I got to do the writing. So obviously I'll be on mic because I think it's important for me to be on mic in this final challenge, but editing, I'm more willing to bring in other people for that. But the writing, I'm okay to be a little bit selfish on that.
Yeah, no. And you should be. That's right. Like, I mean, mine was my voice work because that was kind of my jam. So that was the part that I was going to take ownership of no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of why I brought the Jen back for it a little bit, because I know the judges love her voice. And it's like, anything I can do at this point to grease the wheels just a little bit.
Good plan.
Gotta think strategically.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh, man, I don't know. I know we've only got like a minute left here, and I think you've given me some really good advice. I really want to thank you for taking the time.
I'm glad. Oh, of course. Good luck. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
But I think you're going to nail this.
I appreciate
that. You've got a solid plan. You have a lot of talent. I think you got this.
Oh, thanks.
The first word that comes to most people's minds when they hear professional wrestling is fake. To the people in the ring and the fans, wrestling is anything but fake. Sure, the conflicts are scripted and the punches may be choreographed, but the hard-hitting stunts and the risks they carry are real. Wrestlers give their all to athletic theater in hopes of fame and glory, while precious few obtain it. The biggest names can earn $1 million a year, but most wrestlers will never get that close. Most wrestlers will spend money as soon as they make it, just to stay in the game. I'm David Luzader, and this is Paycheck to Paycheck, the show that looks at the unexpected financial difficulties in seemingly lucrative professions. This episode is about the world of independent professional wrestling. For almost every wrestler, the fame and glory they seek takes the form of joining World Wrestling Entertainment and participating in WrestleMania. WWE is the biggest pro wrestling promotion, that is, a company that puts on pro wrestling shows, that exists. And WrestleMania is their biggest show. According to Forbes, WrestleMania is worth $245 million, making it the sixth most valuable sporting event brand in the world, just behind the World Cup and college football playoffs. Before being signed or making it to WrestleMania, wrestlers have to make their way up the independent circuit. If WWE is Major League Baseball, then the indie circuit is the minor leagues, a place for wrestlers to learn the trade and hopefully get noticed. In the world of professional wrestling, it can feel like there's the WWE and then everything else, with small and big promotions lumped together. For the sake of this episode, we're looking at the wrestlers working the smaller promotions, the ones that don't have television deals and often operate locally. That is where most professional wrestlers will spend their entire career. The first step on the road to fame and glory is training. Pro wrestling schools teach newcomers things like how to take hits, working the crowd, and how to develop their personas. There are a number of them around the country, and many hopefuls will likely have to relocate to attend. Then they'll have to spend thousands of dollars to train 4 to 5 hours a day, a few days a week, for more than a year. No school can guarantee success. No school can even guarantee work. Once a wrestler finishes training, the one thing that matters more than how good they can wrestle is how good they can hustle. Pro wrestlers at all levels are independent contractors. How much they can make is dependent on their individual value. And competition is fierce. There are a lot of wrestlers vying for work, trying to get noticed by a recruiter from a big promotion, but the chances of that happening are slim. While taking part in WrestleMania is the dream for most indie wrestlers, the hope is just to get to a point where they can wrestle full-time. R. Felix Finch, aka Frisco Flame, is a professional wrestler based in Rochester, New York, who's been wrestling for 12 years. He told me that his hope is that any promotion will pay him enough that he has to do nothing else for work.
Whether it's being booked so often on the independent scene that it becomes like I cannot hold a regular job, but I don't miss anything about it, or whether I get a contract with WWE or AEW, even if NWA was to call me up, offer me a contract, I would absolutely take it. My loyalty would lie to whomever pays the check and allows me to have a full-time job as a professional wrestler.
You might expect that people putting on an action-packed and dangerous show for an audience would be making good money. In the indie circuit, a big name can make $400 to $500 for participating in main event matches, but it takes a lot of time and work to get there. People just starting out are more likely to work for exposure than money.
Because of the way I was trained, it seemed like common sense. Like, don't expect to get paid, you know, your first couple of years, because no one knows who you are. And, you know, I mean, to this day, I don't think my mother even knows my ring name.
That's Joey Image, an ex-professional wrestler and current promoter on the indie circuit. I talked to him about his 15 years in the ring before an injury forced him into retirement. During his height, he was making about $150 for a match. The real money for an up-and-coming wrestler is in selling merch and charging for pictures with fans when they're not in a match. On a good night, a wrestler might make a few extra $100 outside of the ring. Making it full-time in the indie circuit is almost impossible. Most wrestlers work day jobs during the week and then spend their weekends driving hundreds of miles to perform. For example, in addition to wrestling, Felix writes for a wrestling website and YouTube channel and has done stunt work to help make ends meet.
the thing is, if you do not have a contract, or if you're not a major personality yourself, you're not one of the top guys, there is no guarantee. So you need something to, you need to maximize your output in any way you can.
If a wrestler does decide to pursue it full time, they'll have to spend months touring the country. As best as I can tell, most that manage to make a living off of it are making between $30,000 and $50,000 a year. It's hard to say that wrestlers are living paycheck to paycheck because they have no paycheck to rely on. Most of them are living day by day, making it difficult to save for life after wrestling. Retirement comes quick, often by their early 40s as their bodies begin to break down, and few have anything to live on when it comes. While a number of indie promoters will help wrestlers out with some costs, a lot of the travel will be on the wrestler themselves, as well as their food and hotel rooms. Clothing and costumes, especially custom ones, can be a big expense. Wrestling boots alone can cost anywhere between $150 and $500. And, of course, there's the cost of healthcare. As we've discussed on this podcast before, independent contractors have no one to rely on for health insurance but themselves. Even if signed exclusively with WWE, which is the highest level in the industry, wrestlers are still considered freelancers. The promotion will pay for any injuries that happen in the ring, but the second the wrestler steps outside of it, they're paying their own healthcare costs. Given the nature of their work, they're considered high risk, and some pay up to $1,000 a month out of their own pocket for insurance. Felix had this to say about it.
But let's not even go into the fact that I'm an independent contractor. I'm an American, so healthcare is bullshit in this country. Even with good, even with really good insurance that I have now, it is garbage. Like, they still have to go through, decide what they will and won't cover. The costs aren't told to you up front, so you don't find out till the end.
Aside from the padding in the ring, the only thing keeping wrestlers from getting injured is themselves.
Yeah, that's why we're trained professionals that have to know what the hell we're doing before we perform. Not only for our safety, but anytime we get in there, we're taking someone else's safety into our hands. If I take somebody and give them a pile driver, like, I can break their neck, or I can give them a nice soft pillow surface to land on. It's a cooperative effort. I trust you with my, I trust my body to you, you trust your body to me. We're both better for it.
When the head of WWE, Vince McMahon, rebranded pro wrestling from a sport to sports entertainment in 1989, the safety regulations on it changed. A wrestler no longer has to be medically cleared in order to work, and promotions are no longer required to have an ambulance at matches. Unfortunately, accidents still happen, and a major injury can be disastrous for a pro wrestler. If they aren't wrestling, they aren't making money. Most injured wrestlers will get back in the ring long before they're recovered. Joey told me all about the worst injury he wrestled on.
Well, I broke my neck. I believe it was November 10th, 2012. I wrestled a guy called Damian Gibbs here in New Jersey for Grand Slam Wrestling. I don't even know what happened. According to my doctor, it was just basic wear and tear from so many years. At that point, it had been about 13 years that I'd been in the ring. So that was basically my next time to go, I guess. My problem was because I didn't really know what was going on, and I'm a very stubborn Italian from North Jersey, I didn't go get looked at until the end of January, which means I wrestled from November to the end of January with a broken neck. I had previous injuries. I had a couple of knee surgeries, and I had a non-wrestling related surgery on my back to like remove a growth on the base of my spine. So I had a bunch of pain pills at home. When I got home, I would just take Percocets, and that would hold me over. And then I would take them like Saturday morning or Friday night if I had a show to go to, and I'd be okay. And I would take them again when I got home after those shows, or got back to the hotel or wherever I was staying. So that allowed me to keep going, thankfully.
While working on this story, there was one question I just kept coming back to. If the chances of success are so low and the personal and financial risks are so high, then why pursue professional wrestling at all? The answer, it turns out, is simple. The wrestlers love it.
To this point, it's almost an addiction. It's very satisfying. It's something you truly love to do, and there's there's not a lot of people that can say that. Sure, yeah, if it breaks down my body a little faster than it would otherwise, if it breaks down faster than I would doing office work, I can say that it happened doing something I was much happier performing, much happier in just my everyday life as a wrestler.
Even Joey Image, a guy who was forced to retire because he broke his neck and his back, would get back in the ring today if he could.
If there was a way for me to get back in right now, I would. Like, I just love it, man, and I miss it. I still have a ton of passion for it, and I still have a ton of love for it. And even when I go to events now, and like I said, I do the backstage thing, or I go in the ring and I do the general manager, quote unquote, character, it still kills me because even though I still get to be a part of the business and a part of those events and those companies or whatever. Like, that's not what I signed up for. That's not what I paid my tuition for, to go to wrestling training to do that. So, like, I still love it. I still have a lot of passion for it. And I just wish I could do more with it.
Today, the independent circuit of professional wrestling is bigger than ever. Streaming services like Twitch allow matches to reach an even wider audience. Social media has allowed wrestlers to build a following, which helps them get bigger bookings and sell merch online. And print-to-order services allow wrestlers to not have to make big merch orders they may never sell.
Twitter is probably the biggest social media tool for independent wrestling. People from Sweden can go see a Joey Image match on Twitter in 2015 and say, "Oh, hey, I like that guy. I'm gonna talk to a local promoter or I know a company that does events over here. I'm gonna tag them in this tweet and say, oh, I just saw this match." And I'll give you an example, actually, of a guy that's doing this right now, a guy that I absolutely love, and I've known him for a few years. His name is Tony Deppen. He lives in Pennsylvania, and he's basically doing that. I mean, he's been wrestling for years, but he broke out in 2019, and his name is all over the place now because of Twitter. You know, other people are seeing him, and they'll, for example, they'll tag, I don't know, a company in California, let's say. And he'll talk to them, and they'll watch his stuff and say, "Oh, great! You know, these people on Twitter tagged you. They clearly are interested. So there's clearly some sort of fan base in this area, regardless of how big or small. If we bring you out here, we can hopefully increase that, which will mean more tickets sold for their events."
While social media is helping, it's also bringing new problems. Anyone can build a following as a wrestler on social media, even if they haven't gone through training. That means that when they get booked, they're putting themselves and their fellow wrestlers at a higher risk of injury.
It seems nowadays that you almost don't have to be even trained anymore to get into wrestling. And it's sad to say, I hate to say that, but there's just a lot of stuff that I see in independent, at least, that, I mean, there's two guys off the top of my head who I don't want to have any publicity, so I won't name them, but that I know for a fact are not trained, but yet are getting booked on events. And that's, as a promoter, that's the most dangerous thing you could do. If I don't know how to safely, you know, give you a Canadian Destroyer move, for example, you're going to break your neck.
Even as independent wrestling continues to evolve, the core issues can only really be solved at a higher level. If all a professional wrestler can ever hope to be is an independent contractor, then they'll continue to be viewed as disposable. Injury or age will force most of them out while they're still fairly young, with no retirement benefits and a lifetime of health problems ahead of them. Even WWE, which is worth over $5 billion and has built its empire on the backs of wrestlers, leaves them with nothing when they retire. All Elite Wrestling is a new promotion formed by some big names in the industry and is taking strides to challenge WWE's dominance and treat wrestlers better. The promotion aims to get the audience to connect with the wrestlers on a human level. If they can successfully turn the focus of wrestling from the product to the people, then maybe wrestlers can start to get the recognition they deserve. This has been Paycheck to Paycheck. Original music by Shane Maddox. Production assistance by Travis Crawford and Jen Lee. Special thanks to R. Felix Finch and Joey Image for being on this week's episode. See you next time.
That was Paycheck to Paycheck, the podcast revisited by David for his final challenge.
On the next episode, we'll check in with Bobby and see which show he'll be bringing back for this challenge. And then it's our grand finale where we'll crown a winner. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.